Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Cap.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, that's right. It's that glorious time of the week again. Thursday nights from 7 p.m. when the Troy Murphy Show graces the two of us our bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 8 p.m. covering everything from the serious news to the weird, wacky and wonderful news from around the world. It's where celebrities stop by for a chat and people far smarter than I join us to talk topics that need expert opinions on. And of course, the Troy Murphy Show house band is in the studio for antics and songs all night long. Big thank you to BJ and Grossy, plus the one and only legendary Gossip Girl, who, again, let's be honest, she carries the show. And I say that with bias because I'm Gossip Girl's number one fan. Thank you, team, for kicking off Thursday Drive as we now enter into 2SSR After Dark. You know, it's often said it's always good to start the show with a little bit of a personal story. And look, this is a bit of a, look, I've got tickets on my shoulder, self-reflection moment. It was brought to my attention that I am listed on the IMDb website. Now, the IMDb website it's a website where famous people get listed for their bodies of work. I'm not saying that I'm famous, but clearly I must be because I'm listed on IMDb. I didn't put it up there. I have no idea who did this. But what it says is that Troy Murphy is a producer. Troy Murphy is known for The Andrew and Troy Show, which was a show I did back in 2014 here on this here radio station and a few other radio stations as well. But the kicker is, it doesn't say it's a radio show. It says it's a TV miniseries, and then I was just the producer on it. No, it was a radio show, and I was a star. Speaking of being a star of a radio show, on the show tonight, oh, so much to talk about. It's an hour of talk on the Troy Murphy Show tonight as we talk the perfect way to brew your cup of tea. Well, that has been answered by science, yes, and we'll discuss that. We'll also talk about the latest warnings about AI technology coming from the people who were crucial in inventing it. Yeah, the people who invented AI technology are now warning against it. We'll also chat about how much you can expect your power bills to increase come July 1. Yep, serious hats on for that one. But then we'll get back into the ridiculous as we discuss the most dateable and least dateable star signs according to a new survey, as well as the weird, wacky and wonderful news from around the world covering millionaire dogs and Melburnian tree lovers. All that and so much more, including Shire news in review and all the fun things you can do around the Shire this week. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show. Responsibly. List that on IMDb.
It seems today that
that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. So where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky Bear's a Troy Murphy show. Lucky Bear's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
The Reading Writing Hotline is there to help adults who have difficulties with reading, writing or spelling. Their number is 1300 655 06.
1300 655 06.
Go on, take the plunge.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2ssr.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
Now for your 2SSR 4-day weather watch.
Tomorrow, Friday, another cloudy day is expected with high chances of showers in the middle of the day and clearing during the afternoon with northerly winds up to 20 kilometres per hour, shifting southwesterly, increasing to 35 kilometres per hour with top temps of 18 degrees and a low of 12. The weekend, sunny on Saturday with tops of 19 and patches of morning frost in the west. Sunday, the sunshine continues with tops of 18 and a low of 7. And Monday of next week, sunshine with max temp reaching 20 degrees.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to The Troy Murphy Show as we file this next segment under It's Time to Spill the Tea on Tea. Yes. So it turns out that the age-old debate of whether to put the milk or water first in a cup of tea when preparing a good cuppa might finally have an answer. According to Professor Alan Mackie from Leeds University over there in the UK, of course the UK are having a say on how tea is prepared, pouring milk on the tea bag first is the way to go if you want the strongest flavours. Apparently the minerals present in hard water can hinder the formation of flavour compounds in the tea. You learn something new every day here on the Troy Murphy Show. But fear not, because we're told by science that the proteins in milk come to the rescue. They lower the mineral content in the water, allowing, what science alleges, those delightful flavours to shine through. I don't know about that, but this is science, so probably shouldn't argue. Professor Mackie explained that the compounds in tea, like tannins, are responsible for the flavour. The more minerals in the water, the harder it is for these compounds to develop their full potential, resulting in those lackluster cups of tea if you put the water in first. In my opinion, putting milk in tea makes it lackluster. I don't know. So next time you make a cup up, consider, if you are someone who has milk in your tea, consider pouring the milk first to enjoy a more robust and flavorful brew. They're just fascinating, but you know, who knew that even a simple act of making tea can spark such passionate debate as it has throughout the generations, and it continues to do. It's the never-ending battle between milk thirsters and water thirsters. And it will go down in history alongside other great rivalries. Like, does peanut butter belong in the fridge or the cupboard? But hey, thanks to science, we now have scientific endorsement for milk first. Who would have thought that the humble tea-making process could hold such secrets? I'll raise my cup of tea to that, but I don't have milk in my tea. Mainly because I think that more you get more flavour by having a black cup of tea, and I'm also lactose intolerant. Oh! The phone here in the studio is ringing. Oh, that can only mean one thing. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Why, hello there, Troy. It's yours and your listeners aren't here. Aunt Ethel calling in to have my say.
Of course you are, Aunt Ethel. And for those playing along at home, it's almost scripted into each week's show that you tend to call in during the first segment of the show.
Yes, it's uncanny that it is.
So, Aunt Ethel, I assume you're ringing in to have your say on this tea debate. Are you a milk firster or a water firster?
You see, Troy, tea itself is the flavour. Adding milk to it is just repulsive, repugnant, and just downright disgusting. Disgusting indeed.
This is going to be a first, Aunt Ethel, but I tend to agree with you on that one. I am a black tea drinker myself.
Oh, Troy, oh dear. Can you still say that in today's age?
Say what, that I'm a black tea drinker?
Exactly, Troy. Black tea. Emphasis on the black part.
Oh, Aunt Ethel, I don't understand what you mean.
Well, Troy, in today's day and age, you know, adding the word black to anything could give rise to allegations and criticism of racism, it could.
Well, in my defence, Aunt Ethel, I am in support of black tea, so I don't know how that could be considered racist, but I get your point. There could be... But that's not what we're really talking about here, Aunt Ethel. So let's just stick to the tea. Tea with or without milk, then?
Much better, Troy. Less chance of scandal when you say it like that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Troy, back to the tea. It's good to know that you don't drink tea with milk. I knew there was a reason why I like tuning in and listening to you every week.
What, is that just because I drink my tea without milk?
Yes, that's the only reason, Troy, because you drink your tea without milk.
Right.
Anyway, as I was saying, it's the tea itself that is the flavour. Adding milk to it just destroys the intended flavour of the brew, Troy.
Even though the research suggests that milk helps release the tannins, which are the flavour part of the tea?
Troy, let me put it this way so even you can understand. Cow juice does not belong in leaf water.
That's a very unique way to say that milk does not belong in tea, Aunt Ethel.
Yes, Troy, and I'll repeat it again. Cow juice does not belong in leaf water. I stand by that statement. It's the sword I'm willing to die on, and I'll even have it engraved on my tombstone so generations to come will know the truth.
Seems excessive, but thank you for the call, Aunt Ethel. Jump on Twitter, search Troy Murphy, that's my Twitter profile, and have your say in our current poll that was posted earlier today. Does milk belong in tea? Are you like Aunt Ethel and myself and prefer it black, or sorry, without milk, so I don't get accused of racism, or do you have milk in your tea? I think that's the biggest debate. Not this whole milk firsters or water firsters thing. Do you drink tea with or without milk? The Troy Murphy Twitter page has a poll. Go and cast your vote now.
Never miss a beat. Follow The Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Stick around because coming up next, we'll take a look at the latest warnings about AI technology that's coming from the people who were crucial in inventing it. But first, attention, residents of the Sutherland Shire, it's community service announcement time. This Sunday, May 28, the motoring enthusiasts of the Sutherland Shire are holding their cars and coffee event in Cronulla. Whether you're a motorbike enthusiast or a car lover, motoring enthusiasts of Sutherland Shire have got you covered. All makes and models are welcome to join, from vintage classics to sleek modern vehicles. There's something for everyone to enjoy. It's taking place on Sunday, the 28th of May, from 6:30 a.m. next to the Illura Surf Life Saving Club at Bellancini's Espresso on Mitchell Road in Cronulla. It's only running for a couple of hours. It all ends at 9:30 a.m. So what better way to spend your Sunday than by heading down to Cronulla to check out some classic cars with the motoring enthusiasts of the Sutherland Shire's Car and Coffee in Cronulla.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
File this next segment under what? Oh, let's take a look at what's happening in the crazy, zany world of technology. As the head of AI company, the people who created ChatGTP, and the head guy, his name is Sam Altman, he's expressed the need for government intervention to address the risks associated with increasingly powerful AI systems. This all happened during a congressional hearing in the US of A. Oh, great. Let's leave it to the politicians to make up the rules behind this. Have you ever seen these congressional hearings or the... It seems like a whole bunch of old dudes who have no idea about technology ask questions of technology creators. And it's a source of great comedy. Anyway, Sam Altman, the head of the AI company behind ChatGTP, has acknowledged that the concerns surrounding AI technology and the proposed establishment of needing a licensing agency with the authority to regulate and ensure compliance with safety standards for the most potent AI systems. And look, you know, let's put our tinfoil hats on. Potentially could be a good thing. Altman's startup gained significant attention after launching ChatGPT. And it's a great program, ChatGPT. I love it. But I am always cautious when I do use it. When I do use it, I always make sure I'm very polite. I always say please and thank you. Just in case one day technology decides to rise up and take over, it'll go, you know what? That Troy Murphy bloke, he was always polite when he used us at the beginning. So let's spare his life. So anyway, ChatGPT, what it is if you're not aware, it's a chatbot tool that impressively mimics human-like responses, sometimes better than most humans. Now, initially, worries about ChatGPT were focused around students at school using ChatGPT to cheat on homework. In fact, there was a story in the news, was it this week?
last week where a teacher failed his entire class because he put all of their assignments into ChatGPT and asked, you know, was this actually written by them or was it written by an AI program? That's the gist of the article. And ChatGPT said, yeah, it was all done by ChatGPT, but it wasn't. And some of these people, you know, even though they were graduating, couldn't graduate. It was a mess, but hilarious at the same time. Anyway, back to this story. The concerns about AI and ChatGPT have since broadened to encompass issues like misinformation and copyright violations and potential job disruptions arising from the latest generation of generative AI tools. And if you pay attention to the news, you would know there is a bit of a strike going on in the US where writers of TV and streaming services are striking because of issues with AI-generated tools. Now, Congress, the US Congress, has yet to propose a comprehensive AI regulation like their European counterparts. And there are concerns that were prompted by Mr. Altman there at ChatGPT and other tech CEOs where they want to engage with the White House and other US agencies, and they want everyone to pledge to take action against harmful AI products that violate existing civil rights and consumer protection laws. That's all a little bit convoluted and well, it's not hard to get your head around, but I understand it, but good luck getting, you know, the White House and US agencies to do that, because I guarantee you most of them don't even understand what's going on there. Now, when asked about his worst fear regarding AI during the congressional hearing, Sam Altman, well, he avoided specifics, which means he's probably hiding something, but acknowledged that the industry has the potential to cause significant harm. Yeah, lots of jobs are going to be lost over this. He emphasized the importance of having safeguards, suggesting that a regulatory agency should prevent AI models, and get this, from self-replicating and infiltrating uncontrolled environments, alluding to concerns about advanced AI systems manipulating humans into surrendering control. Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. He's suggesting that laws need to be made to ensure that AI systems don't, you know, stuff Russian misinformation. AI information is the new thing. He fears that AI systems could soon manipulate people into giving control of law, government, how things work, to AI systems. This has got Terminator written all over it. It looks like the CEO of, well, AI company ChatGPT, Sam Altman, is admitting that even the smartest machines can be, well, potentially a little bit mischievous. Maybe it's time to enroll our all future robot overlords into a mandatory class called Polite AI 101, you know, indoctrinate them when they're in their early stages. Yeah, that's a sideswipe at something else. But I don't know. I look, potentially, we all know that law is always very slow to catch up with the advancements of technology. But look, if AI is listening to this program, which it probably is, because this gets broadcasted and put online, so it's probably, you know, listening to what I'm saying. Look, there's probably going to be no chance that this happens, but also on the other side of all this, probably a good idea that we have some safeguard laws around AI systems, especially when, you know, you've got the the head guy behind ChatGTP saying that AI systems could potentially manipulate humans. Ponder that. Indeed.
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Stick around because coming up next, serious caps on because, well, let me pose a question to you. How much can you expect your power bills to increase come July 1st? I'll tell you exactly how much next. But first, a quick look at the news that broke across the Sutherland Shire this week. A Shire resident fell victim to an online scam, losing $3,000 on Monday, May 22nd. The incident began with a Twitter message leading the victim to add an unknown person on Snapchat. After receiving explicit photos for $30, the victim was coerced into sending compromising images of themselves. The scammers threatened to share the photos of the victim online unless the victim, who is believed to be a young person, paid them via PayPal. The victim contacted the police. However, little can be done once money is sent. Online child sexual abuse is a crime, and Australia is reporting a significant increase in overseas offenders targeting Australian teens. Support and guidance for victims and families who are affected can be found via the eSafety website, esafety.gov.au.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
I'm Craig Lowndes, supercar driver and an ambassador for the Australian Road Safety Foundation. I'm calling on all Australian road users to bring back the thank you wave and make our roads safer ahead of fatality-free Friday. Whether you're walking, riding, driving, or as a passenger, we all have a role to play in keeping our roads safe. Let's all do our part and choose road safety for a fatality-free future.
Did you miss your favourite show? Did you want to listen back again? 2SSR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SSR.com.au homepage. There you will find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SSR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.
Hello, it's John Nartai here from Saturday Jams, and I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. How do you like your R&B served?
Fast.
Get down to Saturday night.
So.
Switching the positions.
Old.
You're making it hard for me.
Or new.
Where's your type?
If you answered yes, well, I have the show for you. Tune into 2SSR every Saturday evenings from 5 to 7 for Saturday Jams on 99.7 FM.
Hello, everybody. It's Omar Rudberg, and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 PM Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
As always, it is a great pleasure to have you tuning in to the Troy Murphy Show each and every week. As well, now it's time to put our serious hats on for a moment, Normally it's a lot of fun and frivolity here on TTMS, but we also like to take a look at the serious stuff too. As news broke this week that, again, we're set to see more increases to the cost of our power bills. It looks like thousands of households are in for a shock, pun intended, as electricity prices are set to surge by nearly 25%. Yes, another 25% on top of what we're already paying. The Australian Energy Regulator has established a new ceiling price, determining that the maximum amount retailers can charge customers in certain regions. Starting from July 1, residential customers will face price increases ranging from 19.6 to 24.9%, while small businesses will see rises of 14.7 to 28.9%. That's gonna hurt. That's gonna hurt a lot. Apparently, about 9% of customers are currently charged the default market rate, which acts as a safety net to prevent exorbitant charges. And that's something that the government does. They put a bit of a safety net around to what electricity companies can charge people, but 9% of customers pay the top rate. Most customers enjoy lower discounted rates, of course, in a commercial market. When you've got multiple providers, it is prudent for companies to charge a little bit less so more people go with them, so they earn more money. That's just the way things work. Now, although the default offer does set a benchmark for overall prices, the regulator attributes that the new price hikes about to come through are due to high wholesale energy costs that continue to drive up retail electricity prices. In response to the news, the Australian Energy Regulator Chair Claire Savage emphasised the importance of shopping around for a better deal to combat price rises. If only were that easy. She acknowledged that the cost of living pressures faced by households and businesses, whilst also recognising the need for retailers to recover their costs, which means we know things are getting more expensive, and also you're going to go pay for more, will pay for more for the things you buy at the shops because shopkeepers' expenses are about to go up. Energy Minister Chris Bowen praised the government's intervention in the market, claiming that power bills would have increased even more without their actions. So good to see a politician pat themselves on the back, which is definitely a sleight of hand comment there, because we all know it's part of their policy that is increasing the price that we pay for energy each month or each quarter, depending on your bill structure. Although we do know that there are other contributing factors to why the cost of power is going up. Yes, it does have to do with the war in Russia. Yes, it does have much to do with the fact that most of Australia's gas and coal is exported, which means its price is largely determined by the global price. And yes, it also has to do with the closing of coal-fired power stations as we rush to renewables. Now, back to the rate rise set for July 1 as we continue to wear our serious hats. Opposition energy spokesperson Ted O'Brien criticised the Labor government for failing to bring more supply into the system and therefore leaving middle Australians behind, which is a bit of a line that the opposition are playing at the moment, leaving middle Australians behind. Yes, we seem to be closing down power faster than we're introducing it, which of course increases the price, of which Ted O'Brien sarcastically pointed out that the government's comparison of their current policies to their previous ones didn't make them any less dumb. I love when politicians get a little jab in. Remember, Australia, I did mention the rush to renewables. Australia needs to install about 40 wind turbines every month until 2030. And get this, 22,000 solar panels every day for the next 8 years to meet the current government's renewables target. Is that happening? Well, according to my research, it doesn't appear so. I should really get an expert on the show to tell me more about that. But my research, it doesn't appear so. I think from what I read in the news and what I understand, we're still debating where all these wind turbines and solar panels are actually going, with most places going, not my backyard. So how does this affect us all? Let's get down to the crux of it all. With these price changes set for July 1, which is not too far away, we're in May now, June, July. New South Wales customers might be looking at paying an extra $440 to $594 annually, depending on the region of which they live in. Meanwhile, households in southeast Queensland could see bills increase by $402, and South Australia residents might face a bump of about $512, which is definitely no pleasant surprise for anyone's budget. That's a lot to add to your budget each year. Now, I don't know about your bills. Let's get personal here for a second. I get my bills monthly. I'm pretty sure I've spoken about this before on the show. I remember when I first moved into the place I live in now. It's a one-bedroom place with just me, one person living alone. Admittedly, I do work from home, so there is power being generated all day. My monthly price about 5 years ago was about $80 per month. My latest bill, $250. And the bill, I've still got the bill attached to the fridge. I did this deliberately. I put the bill when the federal election took place on my fridge, and I paid, I think it was about $160 for the month of the election. So since the election, my power bill has gone up by nearly $100 in a month. And if the price is set to go up by an additional 25% on July 1, I am looking at paying over $300 a month for my power bills. $300 a month. I am not looking forward to that. You know, I might have to go to the gym, get myself a bit of a six-pack abs, and sign up to OnlyFans. I don't know. How do you, when you have a tight budget, you know, how do you find this extra money? I know, you know, of course, there are things I can cut back on. You know, I know I have a Netflix subscription, a Disney Plus subscription, and things like that. And I may pay for things I don't necessarily need, but you know, I'm probably going to have to cut back on that sort of stuff, or work out how to claim it on tax so I get the money back. But that doesn't help with the monthly stuff. Anyway, I know I've played this over and over again on this program, but I take us back to before the most recent federal election, when we were told this by the government who wanted to be elect and were elect.
This cost of living crisis.
From the
cost of living crisis.
Issues of cost of living.
Cost of living.
Cost of living.
Means cost of living is a massive concern.
Cost of living.
Enduring cost of living.
Cost of living.
Cost of living.
Cost of living.
And then there was also this promise from the current federal government, who said, well, that this too would happen if they were elect.
Reducing power prices by $275.
By 2025, $275 a year.
$275 a year.
We'll get power prices down by $275 a year.
You know, I didn't do too well at math in primary or high school, but 1 plus 1 is not equaling 2 here. Not at all. Not at all. Well, I guess, as they say, when it comes to electricity bills, it's all shocking news. That's all just part of the current. There's some terrible puns to try and make light of this terrible situation. Do something about it, people. Do something about it. That's what you're elected to do.
Follow the Troy Murphy Show on Twitter. Search Troy Murphy.
Stick around. Coming up next, are you into astrology? Do you know your own star sign? Do you know what your partner's star sign is? Well, according to a new study, we now know the most dateable and least dateable star signs. And of which is which, or whom is whom? Well, it might just come as a surprise. But before we get there, a quick check of the weather. Tomorrow, Friday, another cloudy day is expected with high chances of showers, especially in the middle of the day, clearing in the afternoon with northerly winds of up to 20 kilometres per hour, shifting southwesterly, increasing to 35 kilometres per hour later in the day with top temps of 18 degrees and a low of 12. The weekend, sunny on Saturday with tops of 19 and patches of morning frost in the west. Sunday, the sunshine continues with tops of 18, but a low of 7. It's getting cool. And Monday of next week, sunshine with a max temp reaching 20 degrees.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
It's time to look at the weird, wacky and wonderful news. Well, not really news, stuff that's been going about lately. It's not really news because it wasn't published as news. It's from TikTok. And, well, you know all how much I love a good poll. I'm a sucker for statistics. Well, according to a TikTok video from @ZodiacMama, that's been making the rounds this week, they decided to take a playful jab at Geminis by reminding everyone that they were deemed the most undateable zodiac sign. Yep, there was an actual study or survey done back in 2021 that asked people about their preferences when it comes to dating specific star signs. And according to the survey conducted by OnePoll, a whopping 42% of the 2,000 participants said that they would refuse to date someone born between May 21 and June 21. Ouch, that's got a sting. That's for people who are having birthdays kind of around about now. In the video, @ZodiacMama goes through the list of star signs that people seem to be avoiding like the plague. And guess who takes the crown for the most undateable? You got it, Gemini. I can almost hear the collective sigh of recognition from all the Gemini folks out there. But don't worry, Geminis, you're not alone in this. Taurus and Cancer also made it to the top three of the undateable list. Tough luck if you're a Taurus, Cancer or Gemini, of which I am a Cancer, which could explain that reason why I live the single bachelor life. But fear not, my fishy, watery and goat-like star sign friends. The survey also had some good news to offer. It turns out that people who are of the Pisces nature, Aquarians, and the Capricornians were crowned the most lovable star signs according to those 2,000 brief souls who took part in the survey. So keep spreading the love, you wonderful water-bearing and determined sea goatians. It's all quite bizarre, but, you know, a study is a study. Let's take a listen to the clip that is going viral.
These are the most unlovable zodiac signs based on a survey of 2,000 individuals. But let's start with the three most lovable. Pisces, Aquarius, and Capricorn. Now you're probably like, what the fuck? This doesn't make any sense to me. The two Saturnians as the most lovable? It's probably because they're hella dependable. And these rankings are based on the people who refuse to date the sign, which is 16% for Capricorn, 10 for Aquarius, and just 7 for Pisces. Now let's move on to the three that society is avoiding like the plague. Taurus, with 36% of people refusing to date them. Cancer, with 37% of people refusing to date them. And to absolutely nobody's surprise, the most undateable person is Gemini, with 42% of people refusing to date them. I gotta say, Taurus at number three, most undateable, that shocked me. And the funny thing about Aquarius being the second most lovable is they don't love, but they're so good at it.
Too funny. I am devastated that Cancer made the top three. If I was to vote in that poll, Scorpions. Scorpions, for me, are the most undateable. Then again, well, not the most undateable, the most undateable for long term. Everyone I've ever dated was a Scorpion. So I know I'm very much attracted to Scorpions, but it doesn't quite ever work out. And to all the Geminis out there, don't let this survey bring you down. Remember, there is someone out there for everyone. Yeah, I'm getting all high and mighty moral high horsey here. Even if the stars say otherwise, keep being your witty, charming selves, and who knows, you might just prove this survey wrong. And always remember, when it comes to dating and astrology, take it all with a pinch of stardust and a sprinkle of good humor. After all, love knows no sign. Right? Who am I kidding? It's all baloney. I don't know. Look, I know there are a lot of people, and I probably will offend someone by saying this, but if you're going to run your lives based on star signs, which, you know, I haven't read a star sign in a very, very long time, but they're all so vague, and they just pick very, very common aspects to human behavior and human personality to determine what each star sign is. In fact, you can almost look at all the star signs and go, oh yeah, that's a bit of me in that. Yeah. So I don't know. But maybe there is truth to this. Maybe there is some truth to this. I don't know. So, but at least I do know. I do know that according to this survey, if and when I decide to put myself back into the dating world, that I'm going to have to keep my eyes out for Piscearians, Aquarians, and Capricornians. Because according to this survey, they are the most dateable. Indeed. We do touch on the ridiculous here on the Troy Murphy Show. But that's what makes it so lovable, even if we aren't one of the most, well, I am not one of the most lovable star signs. Friend zoned. That's it. Maybe they need to do that. Maybe that's the next study they can do. What's the best star sign for friend zoning or tuning into the radio and listening to them rant for an hour each week? Oh, it's too ridiculous.
For everything off air, follow The Troy Murphy Show on Instagram. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Around, because coming up next, more weird, wacky, and wonderful news, from millionaire dogs to Melburnian tree lovers. But first, a quick look at Sutherland Shire news that broke this week. Former Australian Prime Minister and our local member for Cook, Scott Morrison, has delivered a rare speech in Parliament expressing his opposition to the upcoming Indigenous Voice referendum. Morrison argued that the proposal to enshrine an Indigenous voice to Parliament and executive government into the Constitution was ill-defined and presented constitutional risks. He stated that the constitutional recognition for Indigenous Australians did not require the enshrinement of the voice and that the issues should not be conflated. Morrison also criticised sporting codes and business groups that publicly supported the referendum, asserting that their opinions were not relevant to constitutional matters. The Parliament will continue discussions on The Voice, with a vote expected next month on the final form of the referendum question and changes to the Constitution will be voted on by Parliament, with the process expected to be finalised in June, leading up to the referendum scheduled between October and December.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our
Keeping
website,
it smooth 2SSR.com.au. For over 20 years, Pauline Routledge and Smooth Jazz, Will Downey. Gerald Albright. New heavies. Pauline Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison, former Prime Minister of Australia, but most importantly, the federal member for Cook in our local community. And you're listening to Troy Murphy on 2SSR.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
File this next segment under the world is bat poop crazy, and I'm kind of glad I'm part of it, and I'm also quite ashamed to be part of it. Imagine waking up one day to find out that your dog, your pet dog, earns more money than you. Sounds ridiculous, right? Well, it's actually happening in the world of pet social media influencing. Yep. There's a dog called Tucker Buzzin, and the four-legged sensation who has been raking in six figures since it was just 2 years old, with nearly 25 million followers across its various social media accounts. Tucker is living the high life in Michigan, USA. Tucker's owner, Courtney Buzzin, spilled the beans on their impressive income. Now, according to her, a single paid post on YouTube can fetch, pun intended, anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000. Single post. Single post on one platform, YouTube. And that's for a mere 30 minutes of pre-roll. And that's not all. Their Instagram account brings in around $20,000 for 3 to 8 stories. And stories go for what? 15 seconds? And the weird thing is the way social media works is you make a long post and you post it to YouTube, and then you cut little bits out of that, and then you post it to other platforms. So potentially for that one 30-minute video earning $60,000 on YouTube, they make 8 little short stories from that and earn $20,000. Now, in one post! Imagine if you posted daily. Courtney originally created Tucker's social media accounts when the dog was only 8 weeks old, and the rest, as they say, is history. Now, the adorable Pooch, I won't deny it, it's adorable, gained popularity faster than you can say fetch, and Courtney and her husband Mike ended up leaving their jobs to manage Tucker's skyrocketing career. But, you know, it's not just limited to this dog, Tucker. No, no, according to printed pet memories, Bunny the Conversationalist Sheeper Doodle is raking in the moolah with over 8.3 million followers on TikTok. Bunny's talent for using conversation buttons to communicate with her owner has made her a viral sensation. And if you haven't seen Bunny, Bunny is fantastic. It's literally these push buttons on the floor and the dog communicates, like, you know, saying it wants to be fed, or, you know, there's a strange noise, or I want to play, and just actual conversational stuff. It's phenomenal that the dog is so smart. And Bunny's post can earn between $5,000 and $9,000 each. And let's not forget about Doug the Pug, a lovable four-legged superstar who snags anywhere between $4,000 and $6,000 per post on TikTok. So next time you catch your dog doing something cute, you might want to reconsider your career choices. Who knows? Your furry friend might just be the next big thing on social media. In the meantime, let's give a round of applause to Tucker, Bunny and Doug for proving that being a petfluencer is no longer a rough life. Doing so bad with the puns this week. Maybe I should roll my dog into some influencer training. Who knows, maybe he'll start paying the bills and I can finally retire. And if you think that's weird, there's even weirder news this week. Who knew that trees could be so popular and inspire emotional devotion from people? In Melbourne, of course it's Melbourne, they take their tree loving to the next level. Now, the city set up an email address for each and every tree within its limits. Every tree, allowing people to report any issues or concerns about their trees and their tree's well-being. But some folks didn't stop at practical matters. So instead of simply reporting problems, they started writing love letters to the trees. Yes, you heard that right. Love letters for trees. Now, according to reports, since the inception of Emails for Trees project in 2012, people have been pouring their hearts out to these leafy wonders. I must say, it does sound like a very Melbourne thing to do. And honestly, it's kind of great. It's weird, but it's great. It certainly makes Melbourne a unique city. I mean, how else would you want to spend your time, you know, writing complaint letters to radio shows or engaging in pointless online arguments? Nah, far better to express your affection for trees. Seems like a much more fulfilling endeavor. Oh, the things people do for love, from writing romantic poems to serenading trees under the moonlight and now penning love letters. Who said that romance isn't dead? Well, the only advice I can give is just make sure you don't get too carried away with it all. I'd hate to see someone propose marriage to an oak tree. That would just be a wooden relationship. Ha ha! Terrible. I am of dad age. And, you know, I'm wearing it well. What is wrong with people? Dogs making millions of dollars each year and people writing love letters to trees. Come on. Come on. Like I said at the beginning, the world is going bat poop crazy. And I'm kind of glad I'm part of it because I get to talk and laugh about it on the radio each week.
And it's all over just like that.
That's it, the Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 7 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. Now, if you missed any part of the show
or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving or crazy, weird and wacky, wonderful stories from around the world from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking the Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the TWSR.com.au website. Or if you podcast, the Troy Murphy Show is also available on iTunes, podcasts, and Spotify. Yeah. Oh, who knew a lot of stuff goes into this week? Is this work? And what a week it's been! From millionaire dogs to star signs to power prices and everything in between. Oh, stick around though, because coming up next is the encore broadcast of the convo. But my friends, until next week, bye for now.
2SSR FM, the home of the Troy Murphy Show.